Praise God. Well, if you've got your Bible, I want you to turn to John chapter 14. Wednesday night, I was filled in for Pastor Hagin on Wednesday last Wednesday night, and started talking about living a sent life. S-E-N-T. Not S, you know, not like you smell, but not that type of scent, but a sent life. And the reason that talked about that is because of what Jesus said in John chapter 14. And I want to say some things tonight. If you weren't here, you'll be able to, this will be fine. You don't have to have heard, you would not have had to hear Wednesday night service. But John 14, verse 10, and I'm reading from the King James Bible, says, "Believest thou not I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me, I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you," so that you is you, right who I'm looking. We are the you here. He's saying this to us. Now, he said, well, he's saying this to his disciples that were there. Well, let me give you just a couple of scriptures concerning that that'll help you. In Matthew 28, he said, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth." This is verse 18, 19, and 20. "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. You go," or "go ye therefore, and teach," or "make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." Then he said this, "teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." All right? Then in John 17, as Jesus prayed, he prayed there some things, and he said, "Father, I pray not for these alone, but for those that shall believe on me through their words." So who's these were the eyewitnesses, we can call them. Peter, James, John. These were the eyewitnesses of what Jesus did on the earth. And so in those two places, he tells them specifically, or he told them specifically to teach others, train others with what he taught them. And then, "Father, I'm asking you, I'm praying for these also." And one of the things he talked about there was the fact that they were sent. And so those two places. So this is, we need to look at this as relation to our own life and our calling as a child of God. Now, in this, let me say this, we're not talking about our status as a child of God here. All right, this isn't, you don't work to become a Christian, do you? No. But there are works that follow salvation. And they are the what? The works of Jesus. They're not, it's not to get God to love us. He's already made that decision to love us before the foundation of the world. But he has a purpose for us. For each and every one of us has a divine purpose. I like, you know, there's a King James word, and it's become kind of a religious word, the word sanctified. How many of you ever heard that word? Sanctified. Now, you know, we don't use that too much in our daily speech anymore. But the word sanctified just simply means to set apart. To set apart. And when God says that I have sanctified you, it's for this. He said, I have set you apart for divine purpose. Amen. Here's the great thing. In Philippians, it tells us that we are now citizens of heaven. We are citizens of heaven. You know, heaven's a real place. People are living there, enjoying life there. Heaven is real. And you and I are citizens of heaven, where God sits as king and ruler. Jesus sits at the right hand physically. We're there in him by the Spirit. But we are citizens of heaven, and so that's our home. That's our home. Now, because, you know, I realize that, you know, don't go in a ditch on this and say, you know, because you still have a physical body. How many of you still have a physical home, right? You still have that. And you have a place you tell, well, I was born such and such a place. And there's nothing wrong with that. Don't go in the ditch on that, all right? But I am saying what we identify with more is the direction our life's going to take. And we, as the children of God, need to identify with our citizenship of heaven and then realize then that what's left of this life on the earth, which the Bible says, but a vapor of smoke, it's like grass that withers, you know, And I don't know about any of you, I don't mind mowing the grass, but when it gets to that time in the fall when I don't have to mow it again, I rejoice. It's like, yes. But you know, life is short like that, really, compared to eternity. And so, you know, we're told to think on things above, not on earth. Think, you know, be heavenly minded. You hear those type of things. But really, we are citizens of heaven. Now we are living a sent life. In other words, a life with God's purpose on this earth. You realize the moment you got born again, you could live in heaven. Of course, this body would have to change, but it's going to change one day, right? But you'd have to have a resurrected body. This fleshly body can't live there, but you could live there. That's your home. So why am I still here? Why am I still here? Well, verse 12 here of John 14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, let's just look, first of all, the works that I do. He had just said in the preceding two verses that the works are being done because I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. And the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. And in verse 11, he said, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. You see, the statement, I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, is validated by the works that Jesus did. Now, what did Jesus do? Well, a couple places we're told that he went about teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. He did. In fact, there are actually more references to his teaching and preaching ministry than there are to him doing miracles. Amen. In the four gospels, there's more. So anytime you teach the word of God, you're doing the work of Jesus. Anytime you preach the word of God, you're doing the works of Jesus. However, Jesus said, I'm not saying my own thing. Whatever I hear the Father say, that's what I speak. So our responsibility in that is then to speak forth God's message. You know, I've been privileged to take several groups of students and different ones. And I'm not pointing a finger at them because I was the exact same way when I got started in this. Been doing this 40 years now. I'm just now learning some things, you know. And just hang on. You'll get there too. But taking groups of students to different places in the world and ministering, giving them opportunity to minister, and you know, every once in a while you'll find that one person that you told them, you know, you're going to have opportunity to preach. So you know, they put together a whole series of messages, and then at their time they tried to preach the whole series in one message, right? You know, and I'm sitting there one day while one of the students in a certain place was doing that, and I'm sitting there. I'm trying to be encouraging, and you know, and amen, you know, just trying to help them along here. Let's get. You know, you've made 25 good points. We don't need 26. You know, nothing they said was wrong, except for when they made a statement. They said, well, I prepared all this, and I feel like I just need to say it all. And then the Lord said to me, that's the difference between a novice and an experienced minister. A novice thinks it's about what they have to say. Experienced person speaks what people need to hear. So that's our responsibility. How do you know Jesus always said what needed to be heard? Every time. Say, well, that was Jesus. Well, he said, the works that I do, so you do also. You're not going to get there overnight, right? I mean, just because you graduated from Rima doesn't mean you know. Amen. You know what I'm saying. Raheem. I've heard all kinds of names. You know, I thought with a last name like Gregorich, people would admit, but they pronounce Rahima. I've just heard it all, okay, in different places. But that doesn't make you wrong, but it does also doesn't make you experienced. You got to keep growing in these things. But one of the things that helps us then is to realize that the works that he do shall we do also, and greater works than these. He said, because I go to my Father, and when Jesus went to his Father, he sent us to continue the work of the Father on the earth. Now, we don't have to do the work of the Messiah. He finished it. How many of you know Jesus totally drank that cup till there's not a drop left? He did the work of the Messiah. Our job is to take the message. Paul said to the Ephesus in Acts 9, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, well, we didn't know there was a Holy Ghost. All right? He said, well, then what were you baptized with? They said, John's baptism. And he went on to tell them, well, that was repentance. Then he talked to him. He said, let's get you in the name of Jesus here. Took him further. Apollos didn't know. He only knew a certain thing. And they took him further, and he listened. He learned. Well, it's our job now to take people further, not just get them born again. He said, Jesus didn't say go and make converts. He said make disciples. All right? Now, any of you grow up in any of the states that grain farm, soybeans, corn, that type of stuff, anything like that, but even any type of place where they grow anything that's consumed, you know, just because you have gone into the field and picked, you know, the corn or whatever, just because you have brought it in, doesn't mean that it's useful yet. The process of harvest is not over until the harvest has been turned into something that is useful. Now, I'm not saying as a child of God you're not useful. I'm not diminishing, because this is not about being a child of God. But to go on and then do the works of Jesus, all right? In Romans chapter 8, let's look there for just a moment. So, Jesus, let's read this and then we'll go back there to John's gospel for just a moment. So God has a purpose for your life. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it would benefit you greatly and everybody else greatly for you to find your purpose and then walk in it. Some people might call it the calling. Same thing. It's God's divine purpose. One place it says God's divine summons. I like that. God has summoned us. He's called us. It's God's invitation to participate in what he's doing during these times. Whew, I don't know about you. I want to participate in what God's doing. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. Now, how many of you know every time a kid told a coach that, the coach knew whether or not, well, you might think you're ready to play. And you badger the coach long enough, they might send you out there. Then you got to pray. Right? But here in Romans 8, verse 28 says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Notice the calling and the purpose there. But I want you to see verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now that conforming, not just spirit, that happened in an instant, in a moment when we were born again. We are new creatures in Christ. Amen? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new, and all things are of God, our spirit. But this life we're living, we have to renew our mind. We have to present our bodies. We have to be conformed into the image of his dear son. Amen. Now, Jesus said this, the works that I do because the Father's in me and I'm in him. He said, if you don't believe that, if you don't believe that I'm that statement, look at the works. How is this world? I'm not talking about Christians. I'm not talking about us. The believers don't need a sign. How is this world going to know that what we are saying and from the Bible and what about Jesus is true if we don't ever have any demonstration? And I'm not talking about putting on a show. I'm talking about a demonstration of the power of God to meet the needs of people where they are right now. The lame walk, the deaf hear. The hungry are fed. Amen? The poor have the gospel preached to them. Doing these works that Jesus did. Now, you say, well, I'm not called to preach. That's fine. That's all right. There's a lot of callings. In fact, more people are called not to preach than are called to preach. When I talk about from the pulpit, actually, How many people in this church right now are preaching? One. There's a lot more than art. But how many are working in the children's? How many are working, you know, in different things? Whenever we have youth, sir, how many are there with the youth? How many are out parking cars? How many were people? See, it's still called. It's still purpose, right? No matter what we do, you see, having a purpose gets me outside of myself. Actually, it delivers me from me. Knowing my divine purpose. Now, look in John for just a moment. John chapter, I believe it's chapter 12. John chapter 12, please. So, Jesus, one of the things that Jesus knew was that he was sent. We read a whole bunch of scriptures last Wednesday. But here, we didn't read this one, so I wanted to pick up here. John chapter 12, verse 44. Jesus cried and said, "He that believes on me believes not on me, but on him that sent me. He that sees me sees him that sent me." Now, can we say that? See, Jesus said, "The works that I do shall you do also." So when Jesus said, "If you see me, you've seen him that sent me." We are to be the physical manifestation of God in the earth to people today. All right? I didn't say I was God or you're God, but we are his representative. What's a good word? Well, Paul used the word ambassador. That's a good word. How many of you know that there's only one president of the United States, but yet there are many embassies around the world that have a representative of our president. Even though he's not there, they're there representing him, right? And just like the body of Christ, male and female, they're all over the world representing. And if you represent, listen, if you represent our president, you represent the people. So those embassies are there and those ambassadors are there to represent me and you in that country. We are ambassadors here, if you want to call it this local embassy to this local area. We are his ambassadors. To do what? That work, the work that he's doing. He goes on to say, "I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believes on me should not abide in darkness. If any man hears my word and believes not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejects me receives not my words, has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father has said to me, so I speak." Now notice here that he's talking about the words that he speaks, that's what you're going to have to choose to believe. But then he said, if you can't believe what I say in the other place, believe what I did. See the works. But notice he said, this is the commandment that he was told to speak was life everlasting. So part of us doing the works of Jesus is we are sent to speak forth words of life. Words of life. Now, if you go out, you know, and you go out in the world and you're trying to just, you know, you want to witness for God. You want to tell somebody about Jesus. And your words to them are, you know, something along the line of, you know, you're going to hell. You're a sinner. Repent, you know. You might scare them so bad, you better hope you get them, so, you know. Yeah, repentance is involved, but those aren't words of life. Words of life are God was in Christ. Not counting your sin against you. He laid it upon Jesus. And now, if you'll accept what Jesus has done, your sins will be marked as if they never, ever, ever happened. Do you want to know more? I think people want to know more about that. Most people out there realize they're not right. They really do. Okay? But we have to learn to speak words of life. Well, how do we do that? Well, Jesus said the words that he was speaking, he got from the Father. So we're going to have to spend time with the Father. If you don't spend time with the one who sent you, you cannot do their will. Okay? You know, here at Rhema on the pastoral staff, when Brother Bill or whoever, Greg or whoever of us go, when, you know, if we talk to somebody on the phone or we go to visit someone, we do that as a representative of Pastor Hagen, Mrs. Hagen. We go in their behalf because they can't be everywhere at all times. So we go representing them. And so they're from time to time, they'll talk about, you know, here's how we treat, but, you know, so we know how we are to represent them. I'm not there to do my own thing. Now, they don't want us to be clones. They want us to use our personality. But there's a certain way that Rhema is going to treat people. You understand that? But if we don't ever get to spend time with them, how would we know? But thank God we do get to spend time. You understand that? And so for all of us together, all of us in the body of Christ, we've got to spend time with the Father who has sent us. Now, how do we do that? Well, easily through his word. What does his word? Read the Bible. Right? Read the Bible, pray every day, and you'll do what? You'll grow. We got to read the Bible because number one way God speaks to us is through his word. I know he speaks to us by his spirit also. But Pastor Hagen this morning and last, trying to get that across about doing the will of God, trying and following God. But it's hard if you can't distinguish the voice of God from the other voices that are talking to you. Is that me? Is that the devil trying to deceive me? Is that God trying to lead me? The great thing about it, I found out that God sounds just like his word. I don't even know if when we get to heaven and we're standing in front of God and he's on his throne, if we'll all hear him the same way. I don't know, you know, does God have a certain way his voice has to sound? But I know this, whenever I read the Bible and I'm going and I'm reading it, even I'm not reading it out loud, I'm just reading the word of God to myself. But you hear words, right, when you read. Those words, the words are an amazing thing. God invented. It's an amazing thing what words do. They paint pictures. But that word, it's amazing to me how similar the leading of the Spirit of God is to that voice. Because the Spirit and the Word will always agree. Pastor said that this morning, you know, people talk about God's leading them to do something that's totally against the Word of God. Well, that's not God, you know. I'll be honest. I don't want to do what the Word of God says. I want to do this. Be more honest if we say that, wouldn't it? All right. And so in doing this, so go to John 17. Let's read a couple things here. Here Jesus is, some call this the high priestly prayer of Jesus. But he's praying here to the Father. The hour has come. He knows that it's time. He's come down to this end point. He's about ready to be betrayed, go to that trial, be scourged, and do all that he did. But then, of course, 3 days later, rise victorious as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But as he's praying here, he says in verse 15, I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Now, this is a prophetic prayer talking about the time when, just a few days after this, when he raises from the dead, then people can be born again. And we're no longer of this world. We're in it, but we're no longer of it. But he prayed, don't take them out of it. Keep them from the evil. Why? Because there's stuff still to do. He said, sanctify them through your truth. Your truth, your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. Now here we go. Remember what Jesus said? I'm in the Father, the Father's in me. And he's talked about up to this point about how that if you can't believe that, then believe me for the work's sake. The works prove this relationship that I have. And a lot of people say, well, see, he had that relationship, but get ready now. Get ready, because this is the key to being able to understand how you can live a sent life, no matter what it is God sent you to do. Amen. You realize God doesn't have to, again, it's not just being in the pulpit. You'll be sent by God, gifted by God. Whatever God sends you to do, he's going to gift you to do. He's going to anoint you to do. Doesn't have to be a preacher, right? Doesn't have to be a preacher. You might be a musician. Thank God. How many of you know that has to be a gift from God? Because not everybody can play an instrument. Not everybody can sing. You know, I kind of joke about it that, you know, the Bible does say let everybody make a joyful noise. We haven't found that spot in any choir on earth, but in heaven, I'm guaranteeing you, there's a joyful noise section. Because everybody's going to be able to sing in heaven. We're all, the Bible says we all sing in heaven. So get your joyful noise over there and join right in. But here you go. Verse 20, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. Now listen, going and doing the works of Jesus is doing the exact same thing that Jesus did in earthly ministry. I'm not talking about his substitutionary work. I'm talking about in his earthly ministry, it's proving to the world that God sent Jesus. But how do we do that? He said, Father, I'm in you, you're in me. Let them be one in us. In us. So think about this. You know, we talk about the in him reality. How many of you are in Christ, right? Well, he's in God. And God's in him. So I'm in God. And he's in me, so he's in me. I've got the same relationship with God that Jesus had. I and my Father were one. And we're one together. And how is it? It's a spiritual union. It's a spiritual union. We're born again. Right? Now he goes on to say that the world may believe that you have sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Oh, glory to God. Father, I will that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. I can't pass that up without going back to what he said in verse 23. That he ended it by saying, let them know that you've sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Have loved them as you have loved me. And really, who's he talking about? The world. That the world may know, Father, that you've loved them as you have loved me. And then in verse 24, he tells us how God loves him. That you loved me before the foundation of the world. God made a decision. The Father made a decision to love every person before the world was ever formed. He made a decision to love. That's why it's not based on what you do. Now, just because God loves you doesn't mean that you're in right standing with God, or that he is commissioning or accepting of your lifestyle. You must be born again. Amen? But he is saying this. If there's nothing that I have done or not done that would cause God to love me before I got saved, then there's nothing that I do or can't do that's going to stop God from loving me. He made a decision before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, he said, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you have sent me. And I have declared unto them your name and will declare it, that the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Now look over in chapter 20. So he prayed this prayer that we would know certain things, that we would know that the things that he's been talking about, that I'm in you, Father. Father, you're in me and I'm in you. And I pray that they would be one. All those who are there that day, he said, don't take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil in it. Sanctify them, Father, by your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them by you. Set them apart, Lord God. And Father, that because you're in me and I'm in you, let them be one in us the same way. Let them have that same relationship that we have with us. We're in the same relationship with the Father and the Son. And through that, then they can go and do the works and show the world that you sent me. And oh yeah, Father, let them know you love them. No matter what, so they can tell the world that the world is loved by God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. See, sometimes I think if we're not careful, and I know how it is. You know, you look at certain things, you look at things through everything through a natural viewpoint, and it's easy not to love people sometimes. It's easy to forget that God loves people sometimes, you know. But we have to keep that in the forefront of our thinking. Because remember, we're not citizens of this earth. We're ambassadors here. We're citizens of heaven. And the characteristics of the kingdom emanate from the king. And our king is a king of love. Our king is a king of joy. Our king is a king of peace. Our king is the king of righteousness. And our characteristics are the same as his. Now, where are we to manifest those? Here on the earth. Here on the earth. Glory to God. Now, here in John 20 again, he says here, verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus. And stood in the midst and said to them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were his disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Now notice that. Here's the second time now John brings this out in his gospel by the Holy Spirit that Jesus sent his disciples, sent his brothers and sisters, if you will, in Christ, sent them forth to do the works that he had done. As I have sent, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Now, it's interesting throughout time, and we don't necessarily have time tonight, but in the book of Acts, in Acts 13, there's certain five there, prophets and teachers there, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work whereunto I have sent them. And so it says, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, where I've called them. It says, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. See, a calling is that divine summons and invitation to go forth and do what God has purposed for you to do. All right, go to Ephesians. Let's end with this tonight. Ephesians chapter, and I'm so excited because this whole next term I get to teach the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, I said 3, but it's chapter 4. Verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you would walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Literally, the word vocation there, every other time it's translated from the Greek to this English, it's translated with the word calling. Why here it says vocation, I don't know, but I can understand it. But literally it says, walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called. Now this book of Ephesians is not written to the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. It's written to the saints and the faithful in Christ Jesus. So he's saying to us, and he's saying to you, every one of us, he's saying to every one of us tonight, walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called. So the first realization there is you got to realize you're called. Amen. Are you living a called life? Well, a called life is a sent life. Amen. Has anybody, you ever had your boss call you and say, hey, go do thus and so? You were called. You were sent forth to do something. Right? Well, Jesus has sent us forth. As the Father sent him, he has sent us. And we live a sent life. See, here's the thing. To live this life, I cannot be about fulfilling my own purpose, my own plan. There in Ephesians 1, Paul prayed that we would know what is the hope of his calling. Hope doesn't mean wish. It means confident expectation of his calling, that we might know what God was thinking and what God intends for the calling he has on our life. Amen. God, see, every person at Raymond Bible Church ought to pray, God, what's my purpose here at this church? What's my purpose? What's my purpose here? Amen. He said not that we guess at it, but we would know. We would know. We would know. And so he said, well, how long do I have to pray that? Until you know. Right? Some folks say, well, I just don't understand. Well, you have what you say also. Quit saying I don't understand. I thought you prayed that you would know. How about, I thank God I know what I'm called to do. What is it? Well, I'll tell you. Sometime. How many of you know sometimes it's none of anybody's business? That we would know. Somebody said, priest, I heard it. That you would know. That you would know what you're sent to do so that you can live this sent life. And you realize this, you're not being sent by me. You're being sent by the God who created everything. God Almighty, El Shaddai, has sent you. It's a divine summons. It's a holy calling, Paul called it. Amen? And we can all live it, that sent life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you tonight for your word. Father, I thank you that we're in you and that you are in us. And we are one with you, just as you and Jesus were one. And that as we go to do the works that Jesus did and to do those things that he commissioned his disciples to do, sometimes, Father, he sent them forth to feed people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Sometimes, Father God, he sent them forth to prepare things. Sometimes, Father God, they had to tell people where to sit. All those things were sent by Jesus to do so the work could be done. So it doesn't matter what you've sent us to do. It's all important. It's all vital. So that what? That the world may believe that you sent your son Jesus. And that he is Messiah. He is Savior. Father, we just thank you for it. We praise you for it. Father, I pray for each and every one of us that you would give into each one spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we might know what is the confident expectation of the divine summons that you've placed upon our life. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Our prayer team is going to come right now. If you need prayer for anything as we dismiss, everybody stand up. If you need prayer for anything tonight, as we dismiss, then come on down. Ladies, come to the ladies. Men, to the men. They'll pray with you according to the word of God. Why? Because it's the word that's the truth. Amen? Hallelujah. I don't believe we had any first-time guests, all right? So that's all right. But just, hey, make sure you tell somebody you're glad that they were here tonight. And let's go and do the works of Jesus. Live a sent life. Amen? God bless you. Hallelujah.